Is it possible to be cursed by God? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Bob and Sean love to answer questions. And in fact, that's what we're doing today on Grace in Focus. We're taking your questions. You can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. So reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with the questions that have come in. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're doing some more Q&A. We really have a stack of these Q&A emails.
Just keep sending them on in.
Yeah, and so we're going to just go through some of them, and then we'll start a series probably in a little while here, but I'm enjoying these Q&As,
I am
frankly.
Too.
I think
They're
people will find them interesting. So this is a question from Brad, and Brad says that you once told him that God can't bless someone who's preaching a different gospel because they are under his curse. Now, that's from Galatians, right?
Right. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If anyone is preaching a different gospel, let him be accursed. It's repeated twice. It's the word anathema. And I take it that's a present curse. I don't think that means, I believe the NIV translates that, let him be eternally condemned. But that's not what anathema means.
Right. And I think Paul connects that. Well, if you're preaching another gospel, you're preaching the law in some way. That's what Paul's talking about in Galatians. And he says, if you're under the law, you're under a curse. I
right.
wonder if it's the same kind of curse.
I think so, because you're perverting God's saving message. And so as a result, you're experiencing this curse because the law can't do what the Judaizers in Galatia were trying to do or what people do today.
Right. And so here's Brad's question. In the past, and in the present, I guess, you and me too, I'm in this too, have said that we can praise someone for, say, a lifetime of defending biblical inerrancy, even if the person was promoting lordship salvation.
Right.
An example of that might be probably John MacArthur, who stands for a lot of conservative issues that we would agree with him on very solidly.
Right.
But John MacArthur preaches what we would consider another gospel, a lordship salvation gospel. So Bradford's question is, that seems to be contrary. You know, how can someone be under a curse and yet also be praised?
That's a good question. I remember talking with my mentor at Dallas Seminary and after Dallas Seminary, Zane Hodges, about this very question. Zane felt that someone like John MacArthur was quite probably someone who was doing rewardable things while he's under the curse of Galatians 1, 8, and 9.
Oh, that's interesting. So how does that work?
Well, you remember Matthew 6, 19 to 21, Jesus says, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up treasure in heaven,
mm-hmm.
for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Zane felt that people are not monolithic in their motivations. They have more than one motivation in their life. And so he did believe that someone like John MacArthur or other people like them may genuinely desire to please God and may at times be motivated to do good works out of pleasing God, not because they're trying to prove they're saved or work their way to heaven. And according to Matthew 6, 19 to 21, if we're doing something that's rewardable with the right motive, well, then we'll be rewarded. The bigger question for Zane was not whether someone like MacArthur or others who at one point in the past clearly believed the grace message and then later diverted from it. So in my opinion and Hodges' opinion, John MacArthur's a born-again man who no longer believes the saving message. He's departed. But the big question for Zane wasn't whether he could do some things which were rewardable, which were good. The bigger question for him was, is it possible such a person could rule with Christ in the life to come? Zane was very much an agnostic on that question, because the condition for ruling with Christ is enduring in our confession of Christ, right?
Yeah.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Well, MacArthur confesses Christ. He doesn't deny Christ. He doesn't deny that Christ is the Savior. He doesn't deny that Christ is the way to salvation.
But he does deny that it's by faith apart from works, or that it's strictly by faith alone.
Right. That's where it gets tricky, because although he does in practice, you can hear him often say it's by faith apart from works. That's not really exactly what he means, but he will say that.
Right.
And so I guess what I'm saying is I'm an agnostic on the question of whether such a person could rule with Christ if he doesn't come back before he dies. But I'm definitely convinced 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, then each one's praise will come to him from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that every believer is going to be praised at the judgment seat of Christ, although it could mean that. But it seems to me there will be some believers who die at the moment of faith and there'll be nothing praiseworthy. But everyone who lives any length of time is going to do at least some good works, and at least some of that is going to be done with the right motive so that there would be some praise. And so to suggest that you'd have someone who holds to lordship salvation who does nothing praiseworthy, well, it seems odd to me. I mean, my view of the image of God is that even the unbeliever still has remnants of the image of God. And so even the unbeliever is doing some good things. They're not rewardable because he's not a believer in Christ. They are rewardable in this life. If an unbeliever is doing some good things in this life, well, God's going to bless him.
And when you're praising someone for the work that they're doing, you're not speaking for God. It's not like you're making an eternal judgment on God's behalf. You're just saying, I really like that book. That book really helped me.
Right. And Paul says, don't judge before the time. 1 Corinthians 4:1-5, we're looking for the day when Christ returns and he'll judge us. Right. I'm not the judge of anyone, certainly not lordship salvation people. I'm just suggesting that for me to praise someone who holds to a false gospel is not to say I'm pleased with them proclaiming a false gospel. I'm not.
Right.
I'm very upset, and I've written lots of things about people who proclaim a false gospel. But on the other hand, are we not to recognize good in other people? It seems to me we are. Part of the problem we have is we don't have the opportunity to ask Paul, would you say anything good about these Judaizers if they were doing something good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of the Judaizers, I don't know that they were doing anything else that was good. Were they doing the kinds of things that lordship salvation people do, where they preach about the family, about the inerrancy of Scripture? I don't know what the Judaizers did.
All right, well, here's the second question, and it's from Thomas, and he says, I was wondering if you can explain how we can have eternal security when Paul claims that people who practice various sins will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Someone just asked me this. Another person asked me the same question yesterday, and I noted to him that it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where Paul says this.
Right, 6:9-11.
Yeah, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And I noted to the guy who was asking me this question, he said, see, that means if you do those things, you can't be saved. And I said, but that's not what Paul says. He doesn't say you can't be saved. He says you won't inherit the kingdom.
Right. Notice it doesn't even say you won't inherit the kingdom. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous, in Greek it's adikoi, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, the question is, in verse 1, the term unrighteous occurs, 1 Corinthians 6:1, to refer to unbelievers, where they were taking one another to court for unbelievers. But in verse 8, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. The words do wrong is the verb adikeo. It's the verb form of the unrighteous. So the question is, does verse 9, the unrighteous, look back to doing wrong in verse 8 or to the unrighteous in verse 1?
Okay.
It leads to two different interpretations, neither of which follow what the person is asking you. One interpretation is that what Paul is saying is unbelievers are not going to inherit the kingdom. And you're not unbelievers, therefore you shouldn't live like unbelievers. You should live like who you are. You are believers, so you should live like it. It's not a guarantee that you're going to live that way. And under this view, it's saying, yes, you're going to inherit the kingdom no matter what, because inherit means simply get in. But the other view, which I think is correct, is the view that inherit means that you are going to possess the kingdom. You are going to be a ruler in the kingdom. Just like today, you can inherit from your parent or not inherit from your parent, and yet you're still a child of your parents.
Sure.
And so it seems to me that the inheritance here is ruling with Christ. And so this, to me, looks back at verse 8. And it's basically saying if the readers live unrighteously, then they won't rule with Christ.
And the Corinthians had that problem, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Notice some people read verse 11 like it's saying the Corinthians were no longer that way. And such were some of you. What Paul means is such were some of you in your daily experience. That's what you were. And in your position, you were that way.
Well, because in 8, he says that they're doing wrong.
Right. And also in the verses which follow, some of them are going to temple prostitutes, joining themselves with temple prostitutes. And he says, how can you do that? Well, if we say that adulterers are not going to inherit the kingdom, and they're married men who are going to temple prostitutes, are they not committing adultery? And so I think in verse 11, he's looking primarily at their position. Such were some of you in your position, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Right. Those are positional truths.
He's like, wake up, guys. You're Christians.
Right.
You shouldn't be acting like this.
Right. So I think it could be saying both ideas I was talking about earlier. First of all, don't live that way because you're not going to rule with Christ if you do. But secondly, don't live that way because that's not who you are in Christ.
But to answer Thomas's question, this verse does not put eternal security, once saved, always saved, in question. It's not about that at all. It's about eternal rewards, not eternal security. And eternal rewards are not guaranteed. They're not given by faith apart from works. They're based on your faithfulness.
That's exactly
right. If you're faithful, you'll be rewarded. If you're unfaithful, you will not inherit. Well, send your questions to GES@faithalone.org, and we will answer them on a future broadcast. And be sure to check out our magazine, Grace and Focus Magazine. It's a free subscription to you, and we'd be happy to send it to you. Tune in next time.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for those great answers. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. At faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to continue with questions and answers, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.